28 is a familiar verse of scriptures. We're going to read 28, 29, and 30, but we're going to be dealing especially with that verse 28. I know that I've preached on it several times, but I got to go back to it because there's so much that God has showed me this past week. I've been dealing with the golden bricks of salvation for several months now. Seems like every time I open my Bible, there's another brick of salvation that God shows me. But hold bricks together, that we have to have the mortar to hold bricks together. Most people know if they have a house of bricks, and you know they have to have some mortar to hold that house together. Well, these golden bricks that God has given us, and there's a foundational brick that we start off with, and the foundational brick is really justification, it is sanctification, and it is glorification in these verses of scriptures here this morning. But we're going to be dealing with regeneration. Now, regeneration is one of those big words that you consider as you being born again. That means that you're saved. You've been regenerated. That's a new life is beginning you. Because, see, you was born wrong the first time, and you must be born again. The Bible says, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. Nicodemus did not understand, as a lot of people this day do not understand salvation and how that you get saved. He said, now, how can I go in the second time in my mother's womb be born again? Nicodemus, you must be born from above. Here this morning, if you're in this area this morning, if you hear my voice this morning, I tell you, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. You need to understand that there's no way, like Nicodemus, there's no way, no matter if you're a religious person, no matter if you're a rich person, no matter what you think you are this day, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are a lost person. You are dead in trespassing your sin, and there's only one way, and that's regeneration. When you get regeneration, you get these three bricks of foundation. You get justification. Everybody in this building this hour is saved, is justified in Christ Jesus. That is a gift. There's nothing that you can do. God demands justification. You cannot go to heaven unless you're justified. There's no way to go to heaven unless you're justified. But now you try to go to heaven in your righteousness, and God says everything that man has, this fallen nature that man has, he said that it is filthy rags in my sight. I will not accept that there's no way that you get to heaven. But now the righteousness that God says, I want to give you righteousness. Anything that God demands, God provides. He demands perfect holiness. He demands perfect righteousness, but yet he provides that for us. Well, how do you get this? You get righteousness whenever you accept Jesus Christ. When you understand that you're not right, and that's the only way that you can ever be saved, someone have to understand that they are lost before they can ever be saved. Oh, they said, don't tell people they're sinners. Don't tell people if they die in their sin, they'll go to hell. That'll run people off. I tell you, you got to understand one thing. You got to tell them the bad news, and they got to understand the bad news before they can accept the good news that Jesus Christ died for their sin. They may be able to be saved by accepting what he's done. So this morning we have the mortar here to lay these golden bricks. Now one of them is called justification. Now that justification, what happened 2,000 years ago whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he justified everybody that would accept him. That is the blood for everybody, that you're justified. If you're in this building this hour, it was a gift to you. You cannot improve on the justification that Jesus Christ has given to you through a new birth experience. There's nothing that you can do. You try to be good. You try to live right even after you are saved. But you do not improve in justification because it is a gift of you. Salvation is a gift to you, and comes along with salvation is this golden brick. It's called justification, that God has given that to each and every one of us, and nothing that we deserve, because he loved us and he gave this justification to us that we might be with him in heaven. But then we have this beautiful, beautiful word called sanctification, the same way that God expects you to be holy. God, it says you have to be holy. Well, how can we be holy? By God working on us every day to make us more like Jesus from the time that you got saved till the time that you leave this world. The Holy Spirit of God is going to be working on you. As that song they said, he's still working on me. Well, thank God he's working on me. He's still working on you to justify us and also to sanctify us to be more like Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, he said he's the light of the world. He left this world. He says, now you are the light of the world. Now, in ourselves, we don't shine too much, but Jesus Christ is the light that shines through us. And what he's saying is that you're like the moon. The moon do not give any light, but it reflects the light. Jesus Christ, by sanctification, each and every one of us expect you and I to reflect the light that Jesus Christ has given unto us through sanctification. And the more that he works on us, the more that he brings us into the very very image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The more we look like Jesus Christ, and the more that we are sanctified and be a mirror of Jesus Christ. And then all of that we have there, the glorification. One of these days, you're going to be glorified. Now, let me tell you, this is one of these great words, glorification. One of these days, I'll have a new body. One of these days, I won't have to worry about sin. I won't have to worry about sorrow. I won't have to worry about tears. I won't have to worry about sickness. I won't worry about the things this world has offered me. I'll have a new body, and this body be fashioned into a heavenly body, and I won't have to worry about these things of this earth. I'm looking forward, and before this world get through with all of us, every one of us is going to be looking for a way out, and we're going to be looking for this glorification. Now, this is what God has already done. Now, those people that think that you can lose your salvation after you're saved, you'd have to take this word glorification out of it, because this is something God has already done for you. If God has already done this for you, you are just as good glorified this hour if you have been glorified for 10,000 years. God says you are already glorified. It's just a matter of time that you're going to receive this glorification one day. So it also is correct to say that I have been saved through justification. I'm being saved through sanctification. I will be saved through what we call glorification. That's what Christ has done for us today. And these verses I'm fixing to read now, we have this 29 and 30 takes care of this justification, sanctification, and glorification. But now, as we're working on this glorification, we're going to zero in on this 8 and 28, as many of us know. And we know what God is doing for us. So let's read this morning here, these three verses in Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, them He also called, and whom He called, them also justified, and whom He justified, then He also glorified, as I've said. Let's bow in prayer. Father Jesus, we want to thank You this day to lift up the glorious name of Jesus Christ, Lord, for the day, this morning, this hour. God, we know that You're in our presence today. We thank You and we praise You today, Lord. It's exciting to know Jesus, what You're doing, and look into Your Word and see Your people, oh God, and see how You're working with Your people, oh God, and bring us to this very close that we call this glorification in each and every one of our bodies. Father, we know, Lord, that our forefathers have done gone on to be with You, God, Jesus. But, Father, we know there's a day for us. There's a day for each and every one of us that knows You as our Lord and Savior, God, that You're working with us every day. All the things we come in contact with today is for our good, that You're bringing us to this glorification through this sanctification, God, we have in Christ Jesus. And, Father, we know that You're going to continuously to work on us no matter how bad it looks, Lord, in our world, no matter how bad it looks, Lord, in our bodies of sin. Sickness, pain, sorrow, all difficulties, Lord, we know that, God, that You're with us, and we can praise You, Father, because You're working every day, every minute You promise, Lord, and Your promises cannot fail this day. So we want to praise You and thank You, Lord. We pray that, Lord, this sermon will lift everybody up. They might see Jesus Christ high and holy and lifted up this day. God, that we might be able to be the one say, yes, Jesus, I want to walk in Your step. Yes, Jesus, I want to follow You. Yes, Lord, I want You to be my Savior. Yes, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. Yes, Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for working with me. Yes, Lord, I know, God, if I die my sin this day, I know I'll go to a devil's hell. But, Father, I don't want to go to a devil's hell. Father, I want to go to heaven with You, Jesus. I ask You, Father, Lord, to help me, oh God, to understand, Father, in my sins, there are so many today. Father, I know Your Word said we all sin to come short of the glory of God. But, Father, You said there's a gift of life through Jesus Christ, and, Lord, You're going to give us this gift today if we just ask You, Lord, for this gift that You'll be able to give it to us. Lord, help me, oh God, to understand that faith that You're giving me this day. Father, Lord, that all things work together for good to them that's called according to Your purpose. Father, we want to thank You this day how You're going to work in the four saints of this service, how that Your name is going to be glorified, and how, Father, Lord, we leave this place that we can say, Lord, we was glad that we were able to be here this day, and how the Word of God and the Spirit of God will cleanse our soul today. Knowing each and every one of us, Father, we know that we have failed You, even our thoughts and our mind today is far from You. Father, we pray that You might bring us back to that wounded side. Bring us back to the foot of the cross so we might look up to You this day and see that great blessing, Father, that You have blessed us with this day. God, we want to thank You for working this day and all these many blessings we ask in the holy and the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And amen. And amen. Next week, we know that it's going to be 9/11. Several years has passed now since 9/11. We know the Trade Center buildings and how they've been attacked on our country by this Islamic faith, these extremism. But you see, God bless America. We're going to be talking about that next week a little bit. God bless America. What happens if we have four more years under this so-called president we have today and we go into socialism? What if we happen to stay in the road that we're in now and we keep going under socialism and maybe even under communism in our country? What if he keeps trying to destroy all the Christians today and he wants to close the churches today? What if we go under foreign power, as this president's already assigned our troops under United Nations under foreign power? What happens if all this happens? And what if our economy collapses? And what if our money don't mean anything? What if it gets worse than what any of us can dream of today, which I believe it will? What's going to happen to this and even more? Let me ask you a question. If this happens, and even more, would this thwart the plan of God for you and your family? Absolutely not. It will not thwart God's plan for you or your family. This will not stop God's family, no matter what this country goes through, no matter what you go through as an individual, no matter if you have problems, sickness, difficulties, whatever it might be, it will not thwart God's great plan for your life. God may bless America, but he may not bless America the way we think he ought to bless America. It says in Jeremiah, whenever Israel, apple of God's eye, was 70 years in Babylon in captivity, he said, "My people shall come out." Well, in Jeremiah 24 predicts now in verse 5, and here's what it said. "Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, like the good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into a land of the Chaldeans for their good." For their good. Even though the nation of Israel was God's chosen people, although the nation of Israel, God chose those people from Abraham, come out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, he says, "And I'll make you a nation." And he blessed Abraham. And he says, "Through all the world, through you, all the world shall be blessed." And you know the story, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then going into Egypt for 400 years. And then you know of Joseph, and they rose a Pharaoh up and did not know Joseph. And God heard the cries of the people of his people. He brought them out by Moses, by a strong arm of the Lord, and crossed the Red Sea in 40 years. In the wilderness, and then Joshua went into the promised land for 25 years. They settled that land, they divided out that land, and they lived away from God. God said, "Don't do this and don't do that," but she had done it anyway and got away from God. They worship idols, and God said, "Do not worship idols," but they worship idols. And God said, "I'll send you into a land where it's the very heart spot of all the idols of the world." And they did. That was called Babylon at that time. They went in and they stayed for 70 years. But you see, God heard their cry. He brought them out, but he said, "I'm going to leave them there." Why? For their own good. They went in for their own good. Went under foreign power. They went under the captivity of a foreign rule for their own good. And from this day, they do not worship idols anymore. That cured them from worshiping idols. So God may bless America, but he might bless America in a different way than what we understand and think they ought to bless America. But you see, for you and I today, no matter what happens to you and I, God is going to mean it for our good. It may not be good to you, but it'd be good for you. There's nothing that can happen to you. Understand, if you're saved today, there's nothing that can happen to you that don't go across God's death, and he's going to turn it around and mix it up in his love on the cross of Calvary and mean it for your good. Nothing can happen except what God brings it good to for you, not good to you. You see, we know this because of the nation of Israel, what they went through. Sodium is a deadly poison. And also, chlorine is a deadly poison, but sodium chloride, if it's mixed together, makes a table salt necessary for life. The pharmacy takes the mixed medicine all the time that you get prescriptions out of, and a lot of those prescriptions and medicine are poison if you take them, but they mix them together and it heals you from whatever you were sick. It heals you because he mixes them together in the chemistry there of his knowledge. Well, God takes all things that happen to us, he compounds them in the mixture of his love and the cross of Calvary on the cross. And you know what? Wonderfully glorious experience we have because of Romans 8:28. God says nothing bad ultimately can happen to you if you are a child of God. Do you understand that? Nothing utterly bad can happen to you if you're a child of God. Yeah, but what about if I'm sick, Pastor? What if I have this cancer? What if I have this disease? What if I have my arm chopped off? What if I have this problem? What if I can't work? What if I can't see? What if this? What if this? What if this? It don't matter what it is. It's going to be for the glory of God if you're a child of God. Ultimately, when God gets through with you. When you get through with you, so that'll make you say amen. God takes the bitterness and it becomes sweet in the divine chemistry of God's love and grace. I'm going to tell you, that'll make us jump this morning and know what God is doing for us. You know, whenever the nation of Israel come out of Egypt, they went out there into the desert and they was very, very thirsty. I don't know if you've been thirsty, but they was thirsty. Went up to a place, had water called Marah, and that means it was bitter water. Bitter water, they could not drink it, but Moses took a tree, cut it off, God said for him to do so, and threw it in the midst of the water, and the water became sweet. Well, I tell you, no matter what's going to happen to you, no matter what's happening to you this hour, if you're a child of God this day, I'm going to tell you, the cross of Calvary, that tree that Jesus Christ died on, will be thrown in your bitterness, and I'm going to tell you, no matter what happens to you, sweetness will come out of your life because what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary, it really won't matter, whatever it has. These golden bricks this morning, as we see this now, I want you to look at one of them to start with. I may not get through with all of them, but the certainty of it. The very certainty now of the mortar that lays this brick. Remember these bricks, justification, sanctification, and glorification. The certainty of this. In verse 28, it says, and we know. Now, that is not an intellectual word there that we understand with our mind now, but that is something that we understand with our heart, something already been done. Because like this Bible says, so how do you know that this King James Bible now is the Word of God? I can tell you how I know it is. Through many hundreds of years, it's the oldest translation and the best translation because it's proved itself through many hundreds and hundreds of years. There was no other except this for hundreds of years, and it proved itself that it was. So it says, we know. How do we know? We know by the experience of the past saints for hundreds of years is before you and I today that God has blessed them, been with them through thick and thin, and God has brought them out and glorified them. And do you believe that your mothers and fathers, you believe your grandparents, you believe your great-grandparents and your great-grandparents and further back and further back and further back, even in the Old Testament saints, you believe them that they know Jesus Christ? Do you believe them that they're with Jesus Christ? Do you believe they're there in the presence of God this day? Do you believe they are? If it is, this is what we know. I mean, they had a hard time. We think this country going to keep going like it is. They're going to be some hard times, yes, but I'll tell you what, they've been hard times in this country before. I wasn't living in those days of oppression, but I understand there were some hard days. There were soup lines. People didn't know where they were going to get something to eat at, and it might get that way again. I don't know, but I know one thing. Those people that God said that I'll be with you, and I'm going to tell you, I'll make sweetness out of the bitterness, that God glorified them people, and I'm going to tell you what, they're in heaven now, those that trusted Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if they can look back on this old world, they can say it was every bit, it was worth it to what I have this day. I'm going to tell you, whenever we get to heaven, it's going to be worth it. All this just going to be a twinkle of an eye. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior today. Yes, you know that age is creeping up. It's also on a run for most of us today. Yes, your family is getting older. Yes, that you're getting older today. Yes, you're closer this day to be with Jesus Christ than you ever been before. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you're closer to the door of hell than you ever been before also. But time stopped for nobody. But I'm going to tell you the certainty of this, that we really know what God has done for us. We know by past experience. We know by these past saints there. The promise of God cannot fail, and we know that. He promised us that. Does this seem good sometime? We're going through difficulties. No. This old world that you and I are living in is called an enemy of us. We have three enemies. We have the enemy of the world. We have the enemy of this old fallen nature, flesh that we carry with us everywhere we go. Draggly pulling us down every time that we want to do good. We have this old flesh wanting to pull us back. It is an enemy, and it's called the fallen nature of Adam. It's not just these flesh and blood that he's talking about in a flesh and bone. He is talking about this fallen nature that I have, that I inherited right on back from my forefathers, Adam, and you have the same nature I have. You have a fallen nature. I have this nature, and it is called my enemy. This old worldly activity today without Jesus Christ in it is our worldly enemy. But also we have a devil today, and he wants to make sure that we fall every day that we can. He will make sure that you stumble everywhere that you can. But Jesus Christ says, we know in his holy word, it says, and we know that the devil cannot win. We know that sin cannot win. We know that Jesus' love will not fail. We know what Christ has promised. He also is able to provide what he told us he'd be able to provide for us. Yet I'm going through these difficulties. It's so bad. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not. This sickness has jumped onto me. I don't know where I'm going to make it. The doctor says I have no chance. I will not make it with this sickness. There's no chance for me. It may be the problem we're going through. It may be the finances. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know where I'm going to get a job at. It might be the despair that we all have. But wait until God has finished. Wait until God has finished and he'll make all things right for you. There will be a way. If you're a child of God, there will be a way. God says, it may not seem like it, but I'll make you a way today. He says in that very verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose this day. It will work out. God has a plan and God has a program. And like I said, it don't matter what happens to this country. It don't matter what happens to our economy. It don't matter what happens in this world that we're living in. I'm going to tell you, it will not stop God's plan for a child of God, no matter what this world throws at us today. What he says he'll do and what he says I'll do it by the power of God, he says. I don't matter if the ocean wave comes in and it comes out. And sometimes, you know what? They break there on the rocks. They break there on the reef. But I'm going to tell you what, the tide will still come in. This tide will still come in regardless of the rocks this day. The waves of life, man comes and goes. God's tide will come in over time, but it's going to come in. God's time will come in. As we look at these waves, they go out and they come in. That's your waves of life. They go out and they come in, and they dash on sometimes on despair, and they dash sometimes on defeat, and they dash on sorrow, and they dash on sickness. But I'm going to tell you, the tide will win. The tide will come in one of these days. God has too much invested in you to let you go. Do you understand? God has got too much invested in you to let you go. You are created above the angels. You are better than any animal because God did not give you the breath of life. I mean, give the animals the breath of life. He gave that to mankind. Now, you are a very special being today. God loved you enough to send his son to die on the cross for you. If you're one person sitting in this building this day, Jesus Christ loved you, sir, enough to die for you. You, ma'am, that God has sent his son to die for you. You can sit in those pews if you want to and not accept Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you the love is there. It's there for you to accept if you would just accept it. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that which he had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who began a good work in you? The Holy Spirit of God. When did it start? Whenever you said, yes, Lord, I need to be saved. Yes, Lord, I will repent of my sin. Yes, Lord, I understand there's no way. I would like to do good. I'd like to give. I'd like to be a good husband. I'd like to be a good father. I'd like to be a good mother. And I'll do everything I can, God, to be a good person. God, I'll even come to church. I'll give money when the collection plate turns by me. But you see, that won't save you. That will not save you. You need to depend on Jesus Christ. That's something that you can do. And God says nobody and nothing that you can do could ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. It must be, you must understand that all your goodness, the very best that you can do, is filthiness in the sights of God. His righteousness is righteous and ours is not. You were be born again, and you're born to win when you're born again. If you're born again this morning, are you born again this morning? Well, let me tell you, the old graves out there in the graveyard, you walk out to your grandfather and your great-grandfather, and you walk out there to your dads and your cousins, your uncles, and you walk out to those old graveyards and take a trip, take a stroll through some old graveyards. And I'm going to tell you, every one of those old saints, every one of those that believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, every one of them trusted him as the Lord and Savior, I want to tell you one thing. They are already facing Jesus Christ this day. And I'm going to tell you what, they won. They had a bad time. Yes, they worked hard all their life. It looked like sometimes they weren't going to make it. Looked like sometimes whenever they weren't no Social Security. Looked like sometimes they didn't have no public job.
God. But you see, they took, you know what, an old mule, and they followed an old mule around for a long time, and they made some corn, and they made some grits. And I tell you what they done, they raised a family there on an old creek bed somewhere, an old sand hill, where they worked day and night. And you know what? They were not losers. They was not losers. They was winners today. But I'm going to tell you, all the things that you have today, that you know what? You could be a loser here this morning with all these great efforts that you might be trying to do. You might be a loser today because anybody that don't accept Jesus Christ, anybody don't understand that they are a lost sinner, doomed and damned and on their way to hell because they was born wrong, I'm going to tell you, is a loser. You are a loser today if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is the day that God has made. You are rejoicing, be glad in it, because today, he says today is the first day of your life if you've been born again. He says, we know that's just the first brick in the mortar. That's just the first mortar and the first brick, that we are certainty of it because we know. But then we say the completion of it. The completion of this in verse 28. And we know that all things works together for good. Now, good things today. And you say good things today. There's some good things that's happened to me today. Good things happened to you today. Man, we come in today. We know we don't have no pianos today, but you see, we still got by. And I love that singing. I tell you, there's some good things because of the singing of the Word of God and the praying people of God that we met this morning. And God daily loads us down with benefits. Every day of my life, God loads me down. Every day, God loads you down. If you're saved, God's loading you down every day. Count your blessing. Name them one by one. And you will be surprised what the Lord have done. The blessing works together for good, for good. And even the worst thing, God said, is going to be blessing for you. Jeremiah, remember what Jeremiah said to the nation of Israel? For their good. Even the bad things, the good thing works together. I'm going to tell you, the good things that you come into the house of God this morning, the good thing when we share love with one another, when we shake hands and hug next today, when the songs begin to sing, I'm going to tell you, when the prayers begin to be offered up, I'm going to tell you, the good things of God loads us down with benefits today. And the cleansing of the Word of God, as the preaching begins to start, it's not my preaching, this is preaching of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Word of God. It's alive and it's active and it's well today. In this Word of God, it says it cleanses our natural soul today. It understands that your mind should be free, oh God, that you might be able to choose right or wrong today. It ought to be free that you understand if you die in your sin, you're going to go to a devil's hell. It ought to be free to understand you need to give up these things that you're holding on to today, that you might serve Jesus Christ more than you ever served him before, to understand that days are getting short, to understand it won't be long whenever no man can work. The days are coming this day. We need to understand this, the good things, but also he says the bad things, they stayed in captivity for 70 years. And I like that old psalmist, whenever they asked the psalmist to sing, they asked him to play some songs on their harps. And they said there, and psalmist said, how can we sing or how can we play a song we in a foreign land? And they hung their harps on a willow tree. You see, they couldn't sing in a far land because they were out from God's presence. They were out from God's will today. And there's a lot of person today. There's a lot of people today that knows Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that say today, but I'm going to tell you, they in a foreign land. They can't sing song. But I'm going to tell you, you take a person that's a miserable today. Do you know what the miserable person is today? Is a person of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church that's saved and not where they ought to be, at the house of God. That's a miserable person. It's not that person that's boozing it up. It's not that person there is drugging it up this day. It's not that person growing out and having a good time in the world and sinning all the time. It's that person that knows Jesus Christ and they're saved and they know they ought to be in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus says, you know what? You're going to have to pay for this. And God's going to chasten those that he loves. He's going to chasten those that love. I may not get into that, but he is. He loads us now with all these blessings this day. He says, you know, they hang their harps on the willow tree because they could not sing. And it says in Psalm 119, 71 and 72, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, David says, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Oh, David was, he was kind of whipped of the Lord. God chastened him. And when he did, he said, you know, it's better that I was chastened of the Lord. because it's better than gold and silver. Like many of us today, for some reason or another, he just cannot get David's attention. For some reason or another, he told him over and over again, and for some reason or another today, he could not get his attention. And for some reason today, God can't get people's attention today. But I'll tell you one thing, before it's over with, he got David's attention. And I'll tell you, before it's over with, if it's a child of God, he's going to get their attention. He's going to get their attention. You see, we visit, we encourage, we pray for those. Leave me alone. Don't come back. I ain't coming back to church. I ain't coming. Those people down there hurt your feelings. Those people down there do this and they'll do that. I don't like this and I don't like that. Let them keep saying it. Let them keep doing what they're doing. God will be able to say the last word. And they won't have no excuse. God will get their attention just like he got David's attention and just like he get our attention. It goes on through this through many times. We'll never see clear as we see through the eyes of tears. David could not. Remember the story of old Joseph? As I said, that he was carried into captivity. You know, his brothers sold him into bondage through all those years in Potiphar's house. And, you know, he was sold into prison. And then you see those years. And then at the end, he was made a prime minister of Egypt. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 says, "But as for you," talking to his brothers, "ye thought evil against me when you sold me into captivity. But God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." You see, whenever God brings people that's saved back where they ought to be, when a father understands that he's not with his family like he should be, and he's not accepting example as going forward like he ought to, he's doing all kind of things. Oh, it's not nothing. The house of God is not important to him. The things of God is not important to him. But you see, whenever God gets a hold of that person, and that person understands that whip of God is mighty strong, when it does come back, just like old Judas says, to save much people out, then you'll see other people in that family coming. You'll see other people of that neighbor's coming. You'll see other people coming back when that one person gets right. Same thing for mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, and anybody is out of the will of God. We see old King Manasseh, as I looked him up, he done the same thing. God couldn't get his attention, so he just carried him away in captivity. In 2 Chronicles 33 and 11 and on, it says, "Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captivity of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with feathers and carried him to Babylon. And when he was afflicted, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father. And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem unto the kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God." It took some time, but he humbled himself. He might have went through the chains there for a while into the dungeon, but God brought him out. You see, God's going to cure some people in some bad places, but he's going to get their attention. And I think you'll see more and more of God's people coming back. Manasseh had these iron chains, but he said, "It's better for me to have these iron chains. It was to have a gold of crown, because I learned some things of the Lord." Babylon, his eyes was open. He learned some spiritual truth he could not learn any other way. The lesson of truth today, Romans 8 and 28. Paul also had a thorn in the flesh. He asked God to remove it. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And he said, "I glory in my infirmities. It makes me more like Jesus Christ." Good things today, good things work together for them that love the Lord. But how about some bad things too? How about the suffering and the sickness? That works together also. Not good to you. Sickness not good to you. I don't want to be around sickness. I don't want to be around suffering. I don't want to be around pain. But you see, for all this in God's mold makes something out of it. It makes it good. But how about sin? How about when a Christian sins? I'll tell you, when a Christian sins, he's going to have to pay for it. Yes, sir, he'll pay for it. God's going to discipline. Whenever you sin, you're going to get chastened for it. But even sin, God can take even sin and make it work for your good. Nothing can happen to you but that God works it for your good. Nothing, even sin. Oh, you're going to have to be paid for it.
You know, like it was, for example, of old Peter. Old Peter said, let the rest of them do what they want to, Lord, but I'll never deny you. Yes, you will. Before the rooster crows, you'll be denied me three times. No, not me, Lord. That's the other bunch you're talking about. But you see, he cursed the Lord. I don't know the Lord I cursed. I don't even know that man, warmed by the world's fire. But when that old rooster crowed, old Peter said he went out and he wept bitterly. Yes, he did. He betrayed the Lord. You see, Jesus says, I pray that you, faith, will not fail. And whenever you converted, strengthen the brethren. You see, that's what I said, when you come back, you'll strengthen the brethren. God used the devil, sharpened axe to cut his all head off with, didn't he? Hebrews 12 and 11. Now no chastening for this present seem to be joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Lord, help me to cooperate with you so you won't have to operate on me. Lord, help me to cooperate with you where you won't have to operate on me. And I'm not talking about that just with a knife. I'm talking about there's a lot of operations that God can do without carrying you to a hospital. There's a lot of operations. We know the certainty of it, completeness of it, but only the cause of it. Not all things are good to us, but they're good for us. When we get out of the will of God and His rule, God will overrule. God brings order out of chaos, harmony out of disharmony. We get discouraged when something bad happens to you. We mourn and we groan and we complain all the time. Do you ever mourn and complain when something bad happens to you? Like you're the only person in the world ever going to go through it. We all just about do that. Well, Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, the Martin Luther great reformer that we have today, all the history of the church, he was a great man of God. And he, like you and me, he got discouraged. He wouldn't allow anybody to try to cheer him up. He just got so discouraged. So his wife, she dressed up in a black dress, black hat, hood, black hood over face, just like they do in those days when they went to funerals. Went into his presence, and time he saw her, he said, who died? Oh, she said, you hadn't heard? God died. He said, what do you mean God died? That's blasphemy. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. God's not dead. She said, you act like it. You act like it. So you get discouraged. You get down and out. You know what you're doing? You act like God's dead. God's still active and He's still working. Why don't you take that into consideration whenever you think you're the only one having problems? How about some of you? Is God dead? Here this hour, I'll have about another hour and a half and I'll be through with this sermon. The condition of it and the consequences of it. You need to read this and these verses of scriptures. I tell you, God will be a blessing to you in these words. But today, I'm going to tell you, if you're not saved, God has brought you here now and give you a choice. God has been doing this throughout the history of mankind. Give you a choice to be saved. He comes to give you a choice even after you're saved. You want to get right with God, you know, and get rid of those idols that you buried under the oak tree and come and serve Him. If there be someone here this day that has never accepted Jesus, how easy it is. You see, you got to understand that you're a lost sinner and everybody got to be saved the same way, just like a childlike faith. Yes, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Yeah, but I'm an old man. I'm an old man. I'm an old lady. I'm an old person. It don't matter how old you are or how young you are. You got to understand that, Lord, I'm lost. And I was lost because I was born and with this attitude and also a nature against you, God. But see, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And I want you the only way. So all you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. And I'm going to tell you, if Jesus Christ will save you, I won't believe a team of horses could keep you from walking down this aisle. Because you see, Jesus Christ says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you and my Father in heaven. But you see, if you're saved, you're not going to be ashamed of Jesus. You're going to come. So we're going to come now with a